Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and that's my stage name. I also perform, not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking the whole time today. And I want to say to you, there are just right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some
Welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you to dare to dream and to keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. You've just tuned into the right broadcast. So don't you go anywhere. You put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some inspiration and some motivation. Our show today is understanding doctor and patient relationships. Oftentimes, we experience sometimes conflict. We have questions that need to be resolved. There are situations that occur. And today's show, we want to explore how we can resolve situations. We want to explore what we can do to help improve communications between doctors and patients. And we are going to cover as much territory as possible, because we want you to have a good relationship with your doctor. And doctors, we want you to have good relationships with your patients. We have with us today our guest, who's a friend, who is an inspiration, not only to Mr. Motivator, but she's an inspiration to doctors around the world, people around the country. She is a great individual, just an awesome lady. And ladies and gentlemen, it gives me an honor and a pleasure to introduce to you my lovely guest, Dr. Carmen Richards. Hello, Dr. Richards.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome to the Mr. Motivator Show.
Thank you very much, Mr. Motivator.
Now, I want to give you a few minutes just to introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and where you came from and what motivated you to become a doctor. Go ahead, doctor.
Hey, just hold it right there.
Okay.
Okay, I am a Brazilian-American doctor specializing in psychiatry with a training in psychoanalysis in Brazil and here in the United States, where I have been for a number of years. And all my life, I have dedicated it to understand the communication between ourselves, doctors, and our patients. It's not so easy to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Even the communication is not easy, even among regular people. Imagine when we have a sick person or a person who thinks he or she is sick, and the other side, the doctor who is in charge of his or her health. okay? Sometimes doctors are very well prepared for the mission of taking care of health of our brothers and sisters in the planet. But sometimes the doctors also have problems because they come from dysfunctional families, they come from not so well a good love. They have not received the love on their home, so they cannot. They are unable to give love to the patient. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Richards. I am so excited and honored to have you with us here today because people have questions and they need to get things cleared up. And that's why one of the reasons I was very inanimate in pursuing you to be a guest on our show. I know that you're busy, you have a lot of patients, you're writing books, and you have speaking engagements all around the country. But one simple question that I've had people say to me, and I'd like for you to maybe see if you can clear that up or give us some insight. But some people, a lot of people often ask, why are doctors, a lot of doctors, very arrogant?
Yes, Mr. Montevideo. Some doctors are arrogant because they are insecure.
Uh-huh.
Insecure about themselves, because when we know what our mission is,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to be arrogant.
Yes.
We are humble.
Yes.
So I think it's a flaw,
okay,
that needs to be corrected.
Yes.
With our medical society.
Yes.
Doctors are always, they have a good intention to help people, but sometimes they don't know how to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It's the motivator.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up for us, Dr. Richards. Dr. Richards, from my understanding, I was told by our producer that you speak four languages, is that correct?
I speak four languages. My native language is Portuguese because I am from Brazil, but I am naturalized in America. And my second language is English.
Mm-hmm.
And I also speak Spanish and French. Okay, I can communicate very well in one of those languages.
Wow, that's great, because I wanted our listeners to know that you specialize in those different languages because you've had to work with patients in each of those different areas. And in order to be successful in dealing with your patients, you really have to put emphasis on being able to communicate effectively. And I am just ecstatic about you being here today to share some of your experiences and to share the things that you've learned that can help not only doctors, we can help maybe medical students in medical school and patients who are frustrated with the medical industry. They have concerns. And also, I'm glad that you can speak with us from the doctor's point of view, because we need to understand that doctors are people too. And they have sometimes ailments. They have depression. They have things that they're dealing with. And
just the fact that you are able to convey things from both sides of the table is, I think, will really be great for those that are listening today, because we want to help the doctors to be more effective, and then we want the patients. You that are listening, it's not you. If you're dealing with an illness or a sickness, you could have a terminal illness, and maybe if it's not you, it could be someone in your family. Well, we want to bring light to the situation and maybe help you to be able to get more understanding and more information about your situation. Dr. Richards, another question I would like to ask you is, what can patients do to make sure their health questions have been adequately addressed and that their physicians show concern?
Yes, Mr. Mortevedo. First of all, the patient needs to try to relax and not to be intimidated by the very, very strong, in quotations, position of the doctor. Charismatic figure of the doctors.
Yes.
And we need to see the doctors as friends who are in charge of our health.
Yes.
But we need to see them as friends, as people who are there with a mission.
Yes.
To help us to improve the quality of our health.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Richards. People have questions. And another question I think people are concerned about, what can the physician do to help him or her understand the importance of doctor-patient communication skills? Are there ways that they can improve themselves better in this area?
Yes. First of all, the doctors need to address the questions or the answers in a very simple language.
Okay.
Not enough sophisticated technical words.
Yes.
Because the patient, it depends on his or her background.
Yes.
Can understand better if you speak in a very simple way in order for the patient to get. Because we need to consider that the patient is, when he is facing the doctors, they, first of all, sometimes they have a very serious disease, or he thinks he has a serious disease. Mm-hmm. Our job is to console, to cure, to heal, or to bring peace to our patient.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we need to be very, very simple, very humble in addressing our words to our patients, Mr. Richard.
Thank you, Dr. Richards. I'm so glad you addressed that, because often there's been times when the doctor used words or used a certain words that I could not understand, and then they used another word that was even more difficult than that word to understand, and I appreciate you making that clarification for us.
getting to another question that I think we need to address.
What can doctors do, or what can patients do to connect better with them, with each other? And I think you have an answer for that.
Okay. I see here you bought your new book, Improving the Doctor-Patient Relationship.
Could you tell us briefly a little bit about your book and how this book can be very insightful to doctors, patients, students in medical school? Can you give us a short, a brief description of why this book is so powerful and why this book is being ordered by people around the country, around the world, to get light on their situations?
Well, this book focuses on the main subjects that can preoccupy patients and doctors. We focus on the life, how to combine life, professional life, our professional life with our domestic life.
Mm-hmm.
Because in general, doctors are, of course, parents, wives or husbands, and their presence is very important for the family.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, our patients require our best. Okay, it requires lots of discipline,
yes,
from the doctor's part, in order for him or her to satisfy both sides. Because if we are not so disciplined, especially female doctors, I have been there when my kids were this small, where they need me desperately. Sometimes I didn't have, I need to reinvent myself in order to attend their needs.
Uh-huh.
Because my presence was crucial. But the patient, of course, needs the best of us. I suggest, Mr. Moralek, that my colleagues reduce the amount of patients to be seen every day.
Okay.
Because if we have a huge practice, of course, in quantity, we don't have it. So much quality to offer to our patients, and our patients deserve the best.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Richards. You are right. Our patients deserve the best, and I want to thank you for this copy of your book. I read the book, and I was just really impressed with the book. It seems that you put this book together where a person doesn't have to have a PhD to understand what you have in this book. In fact, they don't have to have any education because you have it simplified, broken down, so that the working class person or the doctor, everyone can get their questions answered through this beautiful book. I love the design of it. And Improving the Doctor-Patient Relationships, a guide for physicians, medical students, and general patients. Wow, this is beautiful. Common M. Richards, MD. Wow, I tell you, I think this is the best medical book I've ever read. I've read a lot of books, Dr. Richards, but I've never read a book to help me to understand how to communicate with my doctor.
and not feel out of place or feel like I'm asking something that's dumb. Your book helped me to see that no question is a stupid question. And that if we don't ask, how will we ever learn? How will we get our questions answered? Now, Dr. Richards, for the people that are listening today, there's someone right now that may be sitting on their couch, their sofa, and they're dealing with an ailment. They have some concerns, but they're afraid to go to the doctor. Dr. Richards, could you tell our listeners where they can go to purchase a copy of your book? Do you have a website?
Yes, I have.
And if you need a few minutes to pull everything out, I can move to another question while you're getting that ready.
Sure.
Okay. Now, we want all of you, everyone, to take health serious. Take your health is the greatest asset, I think, one of the greatest assets in the world. And when we neglect our health, we're asking for problems. Okay, Dr. Richards, could you, is this your website right here? Could you read that? Tell us what your website is.
Yes. My book has been in the website, and I have a blog, and it's we can reach it through HD as a Thomas T, again as a Thomas T, and improving doctor patient relationship blog. Spot.com. If you check on this website, you get my book. You will see many spots from focusing in several chapters of my book, like doctors and their health. Doctors at the emergency room, female doctors in their practice, and another thing we focus on several aspects of this book.
Okay,
and. There are several books around, but they focus on the legal aspects of the medical practice,
okay. But
not in psychiatric, psychodynamically
mm-hmm.
aspects of the relationship mm-hmm. between the physician and their patient. Just Mr. Moderator, please.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Richards. And I'm going to share that again for someone who may not have... I may have just tuned into the program and they missed it. Make sure you have your pens and paper ready. I'm going to give you Dr. Richards' website again because I think this is an excellent book. It's Improving Doctor-Patient Relationship.blogspot.com. I'm going to say that one more time because you need this book. Go to the website. Dr. Richards' website is improvingdoctorpatientrelationship.blogspot.com. I think this is a beautiful book. It's an excellent book, and I highly recommend it to all of you that are listening today because there will be a situation, not now, in the future, you're going to have some health concerns, and you're going to want to know how to get help with your situation, how to get the right help, how to communicate effectively with your doctor. This is one of the best books on the market. I truly believe that. Dr. Richards,
can your book help medical students, physicians, and people in general? If so, how?
Well, first of all, the book is very simple. I wrote it with a simple, and I used a very simple language, accessible to anyone. Medical personnel, not only social workers, nurses, medical students, physicians in general of all specialties can benefit if they read this book. And I need your feedback also. I need your impression, your insight, your feedback. But I think this is a very helpful book. And even lay people can profit from reading this book, specialized in communication between the doctor and his or her patient. Mr. Mudavika, please.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Richards.
Now we want to address some concerns for some of our doctors. Doctors are often sued. As a result, there are a lot of malpractice suits out there. What can doctors do to decrease or to avoid a lot of malpractice suits? Does your book address that?
Okay. First of all, I think every doctor needs to reduce the number of patients to be seen every day.
Okay.
Because quality speaks louder than quantity. If we can see a huge number of patients, but if we give them quality time, I think we are more rewarded than if we see our patients in a very hectic pace. Because in general, the adults do their best, but the doctors only see the patients for a few minutes. Sometimes it's not enough for the patient to clarify their doubts, their needs, their fears, and we need that. We need to communicate with our patients, leaving the patient very relaxed in order for him or her not to see us as charismatic people who are entitled to resolve matters of their sort of life.
Yes.
We need to see the doctors as friends.
Okay, that's what I mean.
Our friends who are there with lots of expertise, but with lots of compassion and love, universal love, too.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mudavika, please.
Thank you, Dr. Richards. We need to see our doctors as friends. Well, you know, when I first met you, I really appreciated the way you spoke to me and the way you spoke to other patients. And I saw you as a friend. I mean, you treated me like I was a friend, and we developed a good relationship. And I'm really in awe of you being such an awesome individual, but you're so real with people. And I think that's why people, your patients love you so much, because of your attitude and the way you treat your patients. Dr. Richards, there's been a few times where I've had to take some relatives to to the hospital or to the doctors, and they requested, they wanted me to take them to a local community based hospital or facility. And I took them there, but Dr. Richards, when they got there, I found out not only did I have to take them there real early in the morning, I had to take one of my relatives to the local community hospital at 4:30 in the morning time, because they wanted to be there by 5 o'clock, hoping that they would be able to get in and see a doctor. Dr. Richards, I felt really sad for them because they were there for a long time, and the lines were so huge that the lines were outside of the building around the parking lot. Dr. Richards, can you give us an idea? Why is it that our community hospitals are over flooded with people? And it seems that they look like, I believe they may be understaffed, because you see many, many people, and there's one or two people trying to help these huge lines of people. Why does it take a patient so long to get in to see a doctor? And then sometimes they spend anywhere from 2 to 4 hours waiting to get a prescription filled. Could you give us some insight about this situation and tell us how you feel about what's going on with community-based hospitals?
As a rich society, we didn't need that.
Okay.
We needed to increase the amount of our hospitals, hospitals that see patients who don't have so much money to pay for private health insurance.
Yes.
We need more universal health care, accessible to anyone, not to those privileged who have the money to pay for a high premium.
Yes.
We needed to increase the number of hospitals.
Yes.
With a good quality medical profession, and to assist to those who don't have the money to provide for themselves. We needed that.
Yes.
We needed that, and I am very glad to hear that we are in the process of having the so-called universal health care for everyone, not for me, not for my neighborhood is more well off, but for everyone, for those who are in a very tight budget. I'm very glad to hear that we are in the process of establishing an universal health care for all brothers and sisters in our society. Mr. Motivator.
Thank you, Dr. Richards. I love the way you take your time and answer these questions. So do you believe that the President, President Obama, has a great health care plan, and do you think that we as citizens and patients should stand behind the President in backing this health care bill? And give me a little insight on what you think this will do for people who are less fortunate, who may not can provide any health care for their family.
Yes, I do believe that President Obama
is the person in charge of a great health care. I do believe this is why he is going to be reelected, to help those who don't have means to provide for themselves. I'm very glad to hear that. For the first time, we have a leader of the entire world, the most privileged country in the world. I am glad that this president has he connects with people. He identifies with those who don't have voice, to those who don't have the money to go to a doctor, to choose a doctor. I am in favor of universal health care. I subscribe about that, of course. This motivates me.
All right, thank you, Dr. Richards. I really appreciate your insight, because I think that all of us, even those of us who are wealthy and we're blessed, we shouldn't forget about those who are less fortunate, who can't provide for themselves or for their families. I think when we get to the place where nothing matters but ourselves, I think we've become a society who's missed it when we can't care for our own. Okay, Dr. Richards, could you tell us what motivated you? Why did you decide to become a doctor in the first place?
Well, being original from Brazil, from early days, I saw my fellow man suffering, excuse me, and without anything good in life. And because I saw my mother died when I was 12 years old, I was touched by this event, sad event, and I decided to become a doctor in order to help people in my area, in my country. And when I was invited to come to this town to share experiences on my field, I was very delighted, because I said, I will have people to help in the United States also. And that's so I am here, to help everyone.
Wow. Well, Dr. Richards, we are so thankful to have you here in the U.S. with us, making a difference, as well as you, the difference that you made in your country. Now, can you tell us in Brazil, how is your healthcare system in Brazil, and what are some of the advantages or things that you saw there that could be helpful for us here in the U.S.? Because I believe we can all learn from each other. Because I was very impressed when one of my friends who grew up in Canada told me about how awesome the healthcare package is that they have for the people that live in Canada. In fact, medical care is something that Canadians don't have to worry about. So could you tell us your perspective of the advantages or some powerful things you saw with your system in Brazil, and what you think, how you think maybe some of the ideas could help us here, and anything else you want to add to that?
Good question, Mr. Moreira. In Brazil, we have a kind of socialized medicine.
Okay.
Based on the example of England of the health system of all Europe, when people don't need it to be wealth to take care of their health.
Okay.
Everyone has the right to a good health care.
Okay.
So we have, we need it here in the United States. We need to think, to follow the same health style we have in Europe, England, all the countries in Europe.
Yes.
They have, everybody has access to health. And we don't need to worry. Friends of mine in France, for instance, they said, when I was visiting France, maybe 7 times, I was following a friend to a hospital, and I was very impressed about the simplicity of the doctor, the French doctors. They come to the waiting room to pick up, to call you and me. They don't need the aides, they don't need the nurses. The doctors are so humble.
Yes.
So humble. They come when I ask, who is this? Is the nurse? No, this is a doctor. Dr. So-and-so.
Yeah.
And I was impressed about the way they are humble and very competent. And they have this social conception about health. They don't reserve health just for the wealthy. They give to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if in France, for instance, if you have the need, if you don't have it, who takes care of yourself, of you, the doctor spends the night at your home, giving you the treatment and the assistance that you need. So we needed to look at those examples. Brazil, one of them, also the countries with the kind of socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Richards. I like what you said. The people don't have to be wealthy to get help. That is definitely something that we should take a look at. We shouldn't have it where only those that are privileged can get help and leave out the less unfortunate or less misfortunate. Another question I think that appears to me, I believe a lot of people people in our society are becoming more health conscious. And years ago, people didn't really pay close attention to their health, or at least they did not take the time to study herbal medicines and to study nutritional products or to study vitamins. Could you give us a little insight? Do you think that it's great not only for a doctor who specializes in surgery, but for the doctor to also understand different types of herbs or vitamins or things that people need to maintain themselves? How do you feel about that? Do you think it's important that we have supplements and we take herbs and doctors should also be exposed and should use this? Could you tell us how you feel about this?
Yes, I am a big fan of the unconventional medicine. Of course, the traditional medicine has its good signs, but we need to not to close our eyes to the unconventional medicine, because unconventional medicine sometimes brings us so many good things. We don't rely so much on the traditional drugs, in the prescribed drugs. For instance, myself, I only took an aspirin in my life when I was very young, and I got an allergic reaction to aspirin, and from that point on, I never took anymore any painkiller. I use a different approach. When first of all, I don't feel painful, and I don't have headaches. I am very, very blessed to enjoy a very good health. And but once I don't rely only in a traditional approach of the medical profession. No, I have in my open eyes, my open mind, to the unconventional medicine. We have several aspects very, very effective, and I enjoy them sometimes. I was one doctor when I was who never overprescribed.
Okay.
I prescribed the minimum possible, because I always communicate with my patient. More talking with him or her, making the situation less powerful between quotations for the patient. The patient needs to be relaxed, and sometimes a headache depends on the resolution of problems we have, and no big deal. Why give a painkiller or whatever to every condition or every patient who comes to our office?
Yes.
This is what it is.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you said that, because I think that sometimes we become, well, the word I've heard a lot of doctors use is the word psychosomatic. People become dependent on just getting some type of drug because they feel that they need that. And I like what you said is you mentioned that we don't, you gave your patients minimal amounts of whatever they needed, because you didn't want them to become codependent on some drug. Could you expound a little bit on patients who become codependent or become addictive to those drugs, and how do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, they need to be conscious about their health and the way to keep their health in good shape. And every time we have some problem with our health, we needed to sit down and to explore our lifestyle.
Yes.
We needed sometimes to exercise, and we need to go through a very healthy diet, nutritious. And we need to keep our minds very, very, very in good shape, too.
Okay.
We should not worry about things that will not come to our way, because 99.9% of things we worry about never materialize. Only 1% of our worries come true. So relax.
relax and think that you have all the way to get there. Exercise, eat appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Love,
mm-hmm.
love,
mm-hmm.
love, 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 love. Not when I talk about love, I'm not talking about only romantic love, universal love,
yes.
love your peers,
yes.
love your family, love your community,
yes.
people in your community. Forgive, forgive, and live here and now, not tomorrow, because tomorrow is not. Did not come yet. The past is gone.
Yes.
It's gone.
Oh.
So let's live now.
Yes.
Healthy and joyful. And with a good attitude, because here now is the only one that counts, Mr. Motivator.
Oh. Thank you, Dr. Richards. I like the way you put emphasis on that word love. You can tell the difference when you walk in an atmosphere where there's love. The first time I walked into your office, I could feel the love. I could tell that you loved what you did, and you were a student of what you do. But I've read in different periodicals how that people who are filled with hate, people who go to bed angry, when they're sleeping at night, there are chemicals flowing in their bloodstreams that causes their bodies to not function properly and for them to have heart attacks and strokes. And I could understand what you were saying when you talked about love. And do you think that when people carry a lot of anger and hostility, do you think those things break down the health? Do you think they really affect people's minds?
Of course, of course. Anger is something that doesn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We need to digest.
Yes.
In quotations, we need to process our anger.
Yes.
We need to metabolize our anger.
Yes.
We don't need to suppress our anger.
Yes.
We don't need to repress our anger.
Yes.
We need to ask ourselves, why am I so angry? Something must be reprocessed.
Yes.
Something needs to be looked at with the desire to resolve and take responsibility of
yes.
Your behavior. Take responsibility of your life.
Yes.
Don't give your power to others. You are powerful enough to take care of yourself individually, okay? You have something very profound to be explored in your heart, in your mind,
okay? Thank you, Dr. Richards. I just love the way you answer these questions. You just bring so much understanding. Now, I see there's a chapter in your book where I did some highlights on, it's on page 48, and it talks about physicians affected by bipolar disorder. And I grew up with people that dealt with that, but I didn't know what it was. I just thought, man, what makes that person nice one day and they turn into Dr. Jekyll the next day? Could you explain to us what bipolar disorder is and that what can doctors or patients, whoever's affected with it, what can they do to rectify that disorder?
Very good question. Very good question, Mr. Motivator, because doctors, as regular human beings
mm-hmm.
present all kinds of illnesses.
Yes.
They can be alcoholics,
mm-hmm.
drug addicts, HIV positive.
Yes.
They can be bipolar.
Uh-huh.
They have several personality disorders.
Uh-huh.
Because of this, we have a society we call Impaired Physician Society
yes.
that takes care of all those physicians and the medical personnel, the dentists, psychologists, and medical personnel
yes.
in general, mm-hmm. they take good care of them.
Yes.
If the physician has some problem, health problem,
mm-hmm.
he or she has a society who is very concerned about giving them
mm-hmm.
help and hope. Definitely, we need it. When we feel that the physician is not so well mm-hmm. in his behavior, well, we hope that he or she finds help through Impaired Physician Society that exists all over the United States, expecting everyone to need their help to be on their side.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Richard. I really appreciate the way you open up this, I guess you say, this issue that a lot of people often deal with. Dr. Richards, if a person is sick today or they feel they need a doctor, what do you think that person should do before they go into the doctor's office to talk to their doctor? Should they write down on paper what their symptoms, or what can that person do to make sure that their visit is worthwhile before they go in and talk to the doctor about it?
Well, if the person is concerned about a number of signs and symptoms,
mm-hmm.
he or she should sit down and write down to memorize or to make for him or her not to forget. This saves time when he or she visits his doctor or her doctor. Put down, look for not to be so try not to be worthy, to be objective. Try to be objective, because you help your doctor to be more effective in delivering his treatment to you.
Okay. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, Dr. Richards. Also, on my card, you see in the red, I have on my business card, Laughter is Good Medicine. What do you think about laughter?
Oh, yes. Oh, laughter is really a good medicine. When we laugh, we relax all our muscles, we deliver an amount of positive neurotransmitters, and we avoid the liberation of cortisol, adrenaline.
Okay. Dr. Richards, I hate to cut you off. It looks like we're out of time, but I want to ask
thank you for being a guest on our show today. And could you come back and do another show with us? Because you have such incredible knowledge. Okay, folks, that's it for us. This is the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey. Dare to dream and keep thinking big. You will fulfill your future in life. You will discover your purpose. And also, you can tune in and follow us on Twitter, and that is at C, Mr. Motivator. The letter C, as in Kyle, M-R-M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. Thank you, and we love you. We're looking forward to you tuning in again, same time, same place, next week. Goodbye.